You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, and full of apologies, folks. So we had a little technical gaffe there. Copper, I got to ask, did you pay the power bill? Did you forget to pay the power bill? What happened there?
Well, hopefully Cumulus paid the power bill. But yeah, we just lost internet in all our studios here.
Yeah, I know it. And yeah, so folks, just when that happens, what it does, we use a resource called CleanFeed, and it literally just shuts down our connectivity, and bam, the show just goes out. And next thing you know, Copper has no choice but to start slamming the ads on and filling the space so we don't have what Radio World calls dead air. So anyway, Copper, good job on rebooting. We are back up. And later on, folks, I'll just, if we get time, I'll go back to that section I was doing on national security, because I didn't even get down to North Korea. I had a whole half the world to walk over with you, and so I'll get back to that if I can. What I want to do now is go to the next segment, because I've got a guy calling in right now, somebody who I really respect and enjoy being around. Clint Reed is with the College Republican Federation of Alabama, and I found this article on Forbes, and I'll talk about it in more detail later. But the article says, basically the title of it is, Why Democrats Should Be Losing Sleep Over Gen Z. And it talks about the fact that the generation born after 1995 have become far more conservative than anyone would have ever expected. And so with that being said, let me bring on my friend Clint Reed, and let's just talk about it for a bit. Hey, Clint, how you doing, buddy?
Senator Williams, it's good to be back on. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Well, listen, I'm looking at this. I hope you heard me just then. I'm looking at an article that I found on Forbes. I got it right here in my hot little hands, all highlighted. And it literally says that in a recent poll, Gen Z, at the very least, which they identify as being 1995 or later, has been showing up as far more conservative than anybody would have ever imagined. Give me your thoughts, dude. What are you seeing in this regard?
So I would say the first reason is because we grew up during the failed years of the Obama administration, and we saw high prices, failed policies, the government takeover of health care, and many other things. And I would say that would probably be the number one reason. And then growing up and then entering the real world as President Trump is taking the helm and seeing the successes, you know, lower gas prices, lower food prices. And so we had that stark contrast as we entered the real world. And I think it just made us plain more conservative.
Well, and I don't argue that a bit. I mean, I'm looking right now too. It says that 59. So here's the deal. This particular poll says 83% of millennials just in the last recent years have decided that they were, or said that they were, quote, very liberal on the same issues that 59% of Generation Z describes themselves as being conservative or moderate. I mean, it's almost a sea change, man. Just one generation apart.
It really is, but we can't take that for granted, obviously. You know, we have to, you know, teach the next generation and the upcoming generation that, you know, it's okay to be conservative. It's okay to have conservative thought and to publicly declare your conservative thought. I know on college campuses, we see a lot of our Federation members worried that they're going to get marginalized or, you know, retaliated against by their professors or school administrators for speaking up on conservative beliefs.
Well, so let me ask you this. There's that. We do know that academia very often houses quite a few of society's, you know, academic liberals. But that being said, how does a student body respond to conservative students? Do y'all still see the kind of, you know, backlash that they like to show on the news? Or are you seeing more of a receptiveness among the student body on conservative policy issues?
So I think it varies from school to school and state to state. If you'll remember just about a week or two ago at Samford, the conservative student body and pro-life students at Samford spoke up against a guest they had invited who was a big pro-choice person who they had invited for like an event celebrating university. And it doesn't line up with the ideas of, you know, being a Christian university. So the conservative students actually won that battle and the speaker was disinvited. So conservative students are speaking out more and more, because if we don't, then there's not going to be a change to the narrative, and we're going to continue to lose students on our campuses to the default liberal ideas that's being pushed on them.
So let me ask you about that, though. So one of the things that we've seen among the millennial generation, which allegedly, if they had to categorize people, which I used to always kind of take issue with the categorization of age groups, you know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, millennials tend to be the generation right above what they now call Gen Z. And millennials have been known for stamping out controversial, what they consider to be controversial thought, like presentation of speeches by people they didn't want to hear from. Do you, I mean, in your case, you said that though that there was a conservative group that said, we don't want that speaker on this campus. Why are we bringing that? I mean, is there any contrast there? Do you feel like that goes against the idea of diversity of thought?
So if it's celebrating, the ideas of the university and that Samford is a Christian university, then I think that's somewhere you have to step in and say, no, this doesn't represent our values. If he wants to come in and speak and offer his opinions, then that's fine. But if your university stands for something, then you have to stand firm in those beliefs and not allow it to be tainted by, you know, someone who is pro-choice.
Okay, I can go with that. All right, so College Republican Federation of Alabama. Then there's other groups like YAF and then there's Turning Point USA and national movements. So tell me about what you're seeing in terms of your age group moving towards conservative policy and getting involved in sort of an active role in conservative policy.
So I'll tell you this. After you know, the government shut down everything, students couldn't get on campus. So the first semester back, when we had a campus get on board day at the University of Alabama, we had 500 signups in one day for College Republican.
Wow.
Which blows like every record out of the park. And I think that's because, you know, we saw how much getting involved matters, having a voice matters. And if you don't stand up, then who will, to, you know, push back against government overreach and government oppression?
Well, I think that's huge. 500 signups. So how many chapters do y'all have right now around the state of Alabama alone?
So we have 10 chapters at most major universities. And COVID did take a hit on us because we weren't able to recruit. We weren't able to weren't able to pass the baton to graduating students. So we're still in a rebuilding phase, but we're very excited about how everything's looking. And I think next fall will be even bigger as we can capitalize on Biden's failure to govern this nation. People are just getting more and more fed up, and they realize we have to put good conservative leaders into office.
So, yeah, and in that regard, you and I have talked in the past about the Birmingham Southern thing, with Birmingham Southern just pressing forward on vaccination status and even making tuition cost higher. And that was Birmingham Southern. But let me ask you, you used the term federal overreach a minute ago, which I don't think that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, many folks in your generation would have had that term coined and used as part of their normal lexicon, but you're throwing it out there because it's part of every day right now. What is the mood with regards to vaccine mandates among your generation, if you had to say so?
So, you know, I know a lot of folks my age, me included, who are vaccinated, and it was our choice, but that's the thing. Like, it needs to be a choice. We need to ensure that people have their own independent freedom when it comes to whether they want to be vaccinated or not. It shouldn't be forced on you. And I was talking to one student just a couple weeks ago who she feels kind of chastised by her professor, who, like, you know, calls her out in class because he asked her in front of everyone in class, are you vaccinated? Because if you're not, then we don't have to, or if you are vaccinated, then we don't have to wear a mask in here. And she was like, well, no, I'm not vaccinated. So, and he like makes remarks about her in front of the class, like, hey, I'm going to get my booster. Do you want to come with me so you can get your first shot? That kind of stuff. And, you know, that's just like plain wrong. And that's kind of what we're fed up with when it comes to vaccine mandates.
Well, I agree with that. What about like tomorrow's Veterans Day? What about a sense of patriotism among your generation? What are you sensing there? Is there, because it's disturbing when you see these like man on the street interviews, and they're doing things like, "Who's your president?" I don't know. And you know, we're an imperialist country. We shouldn't even fly our flag. But I think those folks are the exception. But then again, what do you think? I mean, you're walking among that generation right now. What is your sense in terms of patriotism?
So first I want to say, you know, thank you to all the veterans listening. And thank you, Senator Williams, for your service to our country. It doesn't go unnoticed. And, you know, folks that serve our country day in, day out, we have to respect them and honor them. And my generation, you know, I have to go back to two things, you know, education and parenting. You know, in grade school, you need to be taught to love this country. You need to be taught why this is the greatest country, you know, in the history of the world. And, you know, I think the schools need to reinforce that, and the parents need to reinforce that too. But I think we're seeing a lack of parenting in a lot of ways across the country, you know, moving away from our traditional values. But it is sad to see when folks don't know, you know, they don't know who the governor is or, you know, who their congressperson is. And you see that time and time again. And that's something that, you know, college Republicans, that's something that we, you know, seek to do, is to educate people not just on why they need to be a conservative, but on government in general and the functions of government and how you can get involved.
Well, that's excellent. Well, listen, man, would you mind hanging on during a short break, and we'll come back and kind of wrap this up? I want to talk to you about, you know, what are the concerns your generation has about the future? And, you know, if we get time, maybe even talk about national debt a little bit. Is that good with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, folks, we're on with Clint Reed, a friend who I really enjoy being around. Great to hear from him. He's with the College Republican Federation of Alabama, because we're looking at the fact that Democrats should be scared to death about the upcoming generation of conservatives. I'm actually pretty excited. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, going back to the phones right now, my friend Clint Reed's here from the College Republican Federation of Alabama. So, Clint, let me ask you, man, your generation, I mean, if you had to pick a short list of things that y'all would be concerned about going forward in the future, like things you want to address now so you don't have to deal with them later, What do you think that short list would be?
Chair, I sat down with our executive board and I said, okay, what do we want to do? What do we want to, you know, exert force on to try to change? And what we came to the conclusion on was, you know, pushing pro-life policies to see the end of Roe v. Wade so we can protect life in this country, and pushing back against Chinese aggression to ensure that, you know, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, isn't a too big of a beast for us to deal with in the future, because we see China as the Soviet Union of our generation. And I would say those were the two top issues, among everything else that, you know, gets piled onto the list every day. But I would say those are the two top issues.
Wow. And those are two major issues, man. And I appreciate y'all labeling those. Speaking of which, that reminds me too that, y'all chose to fight back against the Confucius Institutes in colleges in the state of Alabama as an organization. Any updates on that?
So we're getting ready for the legislative session. You know, we're going to give the legislators all of the good information that we have. Like last session, we brought in the FBI and they did a briefing for the legislators, just laying out the facts of these Confucius Institutes. And we look forward to that opportunity again. And just letting the legislature know our opinions on this and that we need to close these Confucius Institutes.
Totally agree.
So that's kind of the update there, and we look forward to January when we can get in Montgomery.
Yeah, and this year actually get in the State House. That would be kind of good. Well, listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and the work that you've been doing. And I do agree with this poll. I think Democrats need to be worried about your generation in a sense, because I feel like there's a huge amount of promise for the future for conservative principles. And I don't mean that just in the Republican Party. I mean that in terms of conservative actual principles. But Clint, thanks once again, man, for everything you do. And thanks for being on the air with us today. Okay.
Hey, thank you, and thank you again for your service to this country, and I look forward to being back on here again.
All right, bud. All right, folks, that was Clint Reed with the College Republican Federation of Alabama. And, you know, it's just dynamic to me when you hear someone, you know, that's literally he's half my age or less, and is saying, I mean, he's speaking for his generation in a sense. And I know he doesn't speak for everybody in his generation, but he is speaking for a trend that we're seeing. I mean, right now, this Forbes article that I've got in my hands, it literally says, it starts off with, there's been a lot of talk about the millennial generation, and it says some kind of derogatory things about them, but then it says, and then hello, Generation Z. The fiscally responsible, tattoo-hating, Republican-leaning group touted by conservatives as their best hope for the future, the antithesis of millennials. And that's, wow, what an opening to an article in Forbes, by the way. And it goes on to say, too, that that poll that I talked about, a Guild survey, which I'm not familiar with Guild as a surveying organization, but that they did a survey of almost 2,000 adults, which is a significant level of a survey, and that 59% of those Gen Z respondents described their views as conservative and moderate. And that's a complete shift, because the same poll had been done just a few years prior, and millennials, the generation, so to speak, ahead of the Gen Zers, is literally described themselves as 83% very liberal. That's a massive switchover. 83% liberal to 59% conservative. Wow. Copper, grab the mic. What are you saying to me?
I am just depressed at that number in millennials, but I'm very glad to see there's a switchover. I'm hopeful.
Yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying, too. That's the whole point of this whole segment here, is I think there's a lot to be hopeful for, because there's a generation. And I looked at one of the things that's like, what is causing this? There was another a national study done by the Center for Generational Kinetics. Never heard of them, but they did a study. And they said that, you know, some of the things are that Gen Z is avoiding excessive debt, like student loans, like millennials did. 12% of Gen Zers have already begun saving for retirement. A huge 21% of them already had a savings account when they were the age of 10. 77% of Gen Zers surveyed earn their own spending money by doing freelance work or part-time jobs. I mean, that's all. That shouldn't have to be dynamic and interesting, but it is, and it's also encouraging. You know, with that, additional polling is showing that there's a real pushback on cancel culture overall, and I'm going to get more into that in this segment that's coming up here in a little bit. But there's literal polling right now that shows there's a complete shift, bipartisan shift actually, away from cancel culture. Like this past year and a half, they overplayed their hand, and glad of it. I think you're gonna laugh at some of the stories that I'll tell you about that. But the fact is, I think that cancel culture is getting canceled, and I'm good with that. All right, folks, listen. We're going to be going to a break here in just a minute, but we're coming back with one of my favorite segments. 3:30 time frame, we're looking at Copper's Corner. So this is where I get to sit back and just be impressed when Copper grabs the microphone and takes a few minutes of her own time and gives you thoughts and perspectives from her generation. I thought it was important to segue that right off of Clinton Reed and go straight into Copper's time, just to get that continued perspective of a different generation, but still speaking to the same issues, cares, and concerns that all of us on the conservative side of the spectrum have, and I'm glad of it. So, Copper, you wanna tease that a bit? You got a topic you're gonna hit on this thing today? Where are you going with it?
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna hit the climate change summit that's currently taking place, combined with the rising gas prices and what Biden's doing about it.
Okay, well, that one should be good, because last I saw, just his entourage alone was sucking down some serious carbon footprint, and it was something. All right, folks, we're headed towards the break, but it's going to be good. Copper's Corner is coming up right after this next one, and then remember the Triple Dipper. We're doing national security. I may touch back on that because we had that computer outage, but we're going to get back on that and wrap it up. Next Gen Conservatives is going to wrap up here with Copper, and then number three in the Triple Dipper for the day is going to be literally the fact that I believe that we're seeing, and I got the data here to prove it, that cancel culture and critical race theory are on their heels. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Here we go.